Okay, we're doing our dating class, and we're up to the first date. So, in preparation for the first, for any date, it's recommended that you show off kuf. That means don't wear a torn shirt, don't wear torn pants, don't wear a dirty shirt. Well, you're still not supposed to wear dirty clothing. Yeah, you could wear your shirt once before the 9 days and keep it clean, and then wear it again during the 9 days. So that we'll discuss a different time. But we have to we have to make a good appearance. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. So if you ordinarily shave, then shave before the date. If you ordinarily comb your hair before the date. If you usually walk around with your shirt tucked in, or if on Shabbos or in honor of important things, you tuck your shirt in, so tuck your shirt in. I recommend that people rest before a date. We're all better focused and we function better when we rest. It's a good idea to rest in general during the day, but especially if you're going on a date, and especially if you're like most Westerners here at Machon Meir, that your nightlife is more active than your day life, then you could use a rest. So then, look, we're learning. It's almost 10 o'clock. We're still learning, right? So nightlife over here is active, Baruch Hashem. People are learning. So get a rest. Get a nap before you go out on a date. Make sure you have a few tissues in your pocket. Make sure your shirt is ironed. Make sure you have money in your pocket. You might find yourself ending up in a location where you'll have to buy a drink or something. I expect that most people will offer to buy a drink on a date. You might need to take a bus or a taxi. You never know what will happen. You shouldn't walk out. No, it's not proper to buy an alcoholic drink on a date. No, you should buy a cup of tea, a cup of water, soda, whatever you want. But it's if you buy a beer, you're telling the girl, I'm the type of guy that buys beers all the time. I mean, if you're dating in religious circles, usually it's not expected that you're going to buy a beer. If you're a guy that drinks a beer every night, then maybe you should buy a beer on the date and let the girl know that. But if the type of lifestyle you're going to lead, and I hope that's the lifestyle you're going to lead, is one where you might drink a beer on a Friday night, but throughout the week you're not going to spend your time drinking beers, so then it's not giving a correct message if you're buying a beer on a date. A beer or any alcoholic beverage, and in general it's considered immodest that a woman drinks alcohol with a man other than her husband or at a chasna or whatever it is. But ordinarily it's considered something of intimacy that someone pours an alcoholic beverage for a woman. So that's something which should be between a husband and his wife and not on a date. When we're preparing for a date, so I think it's good to take with you her cell phone number in case you... you don't see her, you don't find her, or you're running late, she's running late. Try to gauge your time well. You shouldn't be showing up late for the date. It's not nice. And it's good to review the information you have about her. I would write down her name because I'm very bad with names. You don't want to show up on the date and ask her 10 times, what's your name again? It doesn't...
wouldn't it also be kind of bad to like have to keep pulling out your little index card?
That's true. So Simcha, I think there are better ways of doing it than pulling out a card and saying, "What's your name again?" Right. That's defeating the purpose. I agree. But it doesn't hurt. I mean, I would put it in a notepad somewhere.
And pretend you're reading something else.
I don't know. I'd find a way of doing it. I don't remember how I did it. You know, daya lechakima. A wise person figures it out. Then the chacham yechkamot. You guys will figure it out. Okay. So after we're organized, so I think it's a nice idea to shave and shower and show up to a date refreshed, and give yourself enough time that you're not. You're not running and showing up all sweaty, even though you did shower.
But if you never shave, right, and also in the Jewish community, you can be expected for a guy to have like a scruffy kind of beard, right? I mean,
if you don't shave, you don't shave. If that's the way you look, that's the way you look. But if you do shave, so it's worth the investment to shave before the date.
Yeah,
Yeah.
If I don't, if I said I look like a weird, I look like a no, I look like weird. I don't look like me if I don't.
Okay. So go like that? Yeah.
What if I done, you know this girl that you're going out with? And like, you know, you never shave your life, have this huge beard. It's like walking with somebody.
Yeah.
Let's just say, after a few dates, you finally shave it. And then she like, oh, what the hell happened to you, you know? So like, is that a good idea? If she's so used to using the beard, and then on the next day you shave it off.
When it's relevant, we could discuss it.
Let's leave it.
So let's leave it. When it's relevant, we'll discuss it. Okay. Often what happens is that people spend the time before the date thinking, what are we going to discuss? What are we going to talk about? So I think that if you think about it, then with your friends, the conversation flows. So this is a girl, this isn't a guy. But if it's right, then to an extent, with time, the conversation will flow. Not necessarily on the first date, not necessarily on the second date, but slowly, as we get to know one another, the conversation will flow. And I want to explain that a little bit more. It's good to have a few thoughts, a few interesting stories, or something interesting that you could bring up on the date to talk about. But what people sometimes try to do is map out the conversation. So I'll tell the story, and then she'll laugh, and then I'll say, oh, and I got another one, and then I'll... That doesn't work. In a real conversation, you cannot prepare, you can't map it out. And if it's right, then it should be natural. Sometimes it's good to have conversation starters. It's not a good idea to talk about politics on the first date. Can you believe what they're about to sign out there? No, that's not the discussion of the first date. If it comes up, it comes up, but you're not marrying someone to build a political ideology together, I assume. I mean, unless you're one of these people who are coming out to save the world, maybe then it's important. But so long as it's all in theory, I'm not sure that makes sense, that should be part of the first conversation. You shouldn't be scared of silent gaps in conversation. It's normal. If you sit any two people together for 2-3 hours, they can't talk nonstop. If you do talk nonstop, it's a good sign. But if you don't talk nonstop, it's not a bad sign. And if you're dating a very modest, quiet girl, so then have patience. If you want a modest, quiet girl, then a modest, quiet girl won't be talking too much in the beginning. It'll take her time to open up. So don't get nervous. Give her time. Girls who come from a real Orthodox background and have been dating from the age of 19-20, once they pass the age of 22-23, usually they're approaching the first date very apprehensive. They've been dumped by 20-30 guys after the first date, and it's very difficult for them to think about opening up to you on the first date, because who's to say you're not one of these other guys who are just going to say no after one date, so why should she share anything with you? So my policy is always with a girl that's older, I always say the first date, just get it over with so that you can get to the second date. Don't give any weight to the first date. The first date is just so she has a little bit of confidence so that she can open up. You know how many guys she's had a first date with? So you're another one. What does she know? Why should she share anything substantial with you if she's seen that so many other guys say no after one date? And we will discuss, Bezrat Hashem, I don't think we'll get there today, but we'll discuss the importance of giving it time before you decide. Not saying no after the first date. That's a big mistake that guys do. They're very quick to say the no. And I think there are very, very few reasons you should say no after one date. So, when you're preparing, prepare yourself to be calm, prepare yourself to be yourself. Being yourself doesn't mean you have to burp on the date. Even if you do that with your friend, it's not considered polite. I assume you won't do that in public after you're married, so you don't have to do it with her. If you're going to be friends and friendly, so it means being normal. If you're a guy that's shomer negiyah, kol hakavod, that's what the halacha says we have to do. If you're a guy that's not yet shomer negiyah, just make sure that you're dating a girl that's on the same page as you are. because it's very unfair. I mean, in my opinion, it's even abusive to touch someone that doesn't want to be touched. Again, and then you have to consider whether you should be dating altogether or you should give yourself more time to grow, because the place where a person should be at, halacha does not permit us to touch someone of the opposite gender, any touch that's of affection. And usually a normal person, if he's touching someone of the opposite gender, there's going to be some affection there.
Even a handshake,
sir? So we assume that a handshake is also usually included in that. Yeah.
Rabbi, did they say you go to the first date and you click like it or not? This person and this person know this is the right one.
That's excellent. That's an excellent question. I get this about 2 to 3 times a month, that a guy from a Honeir goes out with a girl, comes back, and his eyes are all sparkles. And he says, this is it. And if this isn't it, can't get any better, so this better be it. And then he goes on date number 2 and date number 3 and date number 4, and then he ends it. And I'm telling you, this happens a few times a month. Not once a year, not once a month, a few times a month. Guys come back and their eyes are ablaze and they're all excited. This is it. And then it's not. So I have a policy that I think it's the only thing I can think of that I say is very controversial here at Mahon Meir. And that is that I say, in under 30 dates, don't talk to me about engagement. I don't believe anyone should get engaged. Usually I say 40 dates. But somewhere between 30 and 40. So guys say, well, 30 dates, 40 dates, what do you want 30, 40 dates for? So I say, because I've seen so many guys get so excited after a few dates, and when they got to know the other person more, either the other person said no, or they said no. We have to be realistic and recognize that we each have a background, and there's a lot to share and a lot to find out, and you can't do that in 2 dates. I just want you to know that Rav Lichtman disagrees with me. This is an ongoing disagreement between me and him. I respect his opinion.
Too many?
He doesn't think you have to date that many. You're welcome to talk to him and hear his opinion. I believe 40 is the right number.
I did over 40 dates before
I married my wife. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
But I will get 50 when I will get married then.
You don't have to wait a week between dates. After you see that the dates are going good, we'll discuss this later, then you could date more often. You could date 3 times a week. 3 times a week. That's 9-10 dates a month. It takes, you could do much more than that too if you date on Shabbos. I mean, at the end of the day, you get to know one another well, and it becomes clear whether you should or shouldn't marry the other person. Too many guys over here have had broken engagements and divorces, or a better thing that we've seen is that guys come back and say, this is amazing, and after a few more dates, one of them realizes that it might be amazing, but it's just not it. So that's my recommendation. Now, we had a guy here at Mahon Meir who dated a girl 8 times, 10 times, and she said, why aren't we getting married? And he said, my rabbi said 40 dates. She said, are we religious or are we secular? He said, we're religious. She said, religious people don't date 40 dates. He said, that's what my rabbi says. I'm not arguing with him. So she said, well, either we get married or we break up, but I'm not continuing with you 40 days. So he said, okay, good luck. So they broke up. And about a half a week later, a week later, she calls me up. He calls me up. And he tells me, look, I dated this girl. It makes sense. But we only dated 10 dates. And she insisted that she's not willing to go 40 dates. And I told her that you said 40. Are you sticking by your guns, 40? Or even at the expense of marriage? I said, yeah, and at the expense of divorce too. Not less than 40. I stick to my guns. So he said, would you agree to explain it to her? So I said, sure, no problem. I'll be happy to explain it to her. So she agreed that I call her. I called her up. And we spoke for a half hour. And I explained to her that it's true in the Haredi world where things are more defined before you get married. Everyone knows what's expected of the guy and of the girl, and 90% of what we discuss is already defined because you're just part of a certain way of life. So then you have to see that you match. So then you could get married in less dates. When you're coming from a world where what's been your norm for the last 20 years is very different than the type of life you want to set up, then you need more time to define how you're going to do things and if you're really compatible on critical issues of chinuch, of Yiddishkeit, of Rumkeit. A lot of points have to be discussed. So after a half hour discussion, she said, you know, I hear what you're saying. Fine. Could you set us up again? So I called them up, and we set them up again. And today, Baruch Hashem, they're happily married. So you might say, well, you see, they got married. They could have gotten married after 10 dates too. Yeah, that's like a guy who takes a gun, puts in one bullet, flips the wheel, and he says, let me shoot, let me see. You know, odds are I won't kill myself, right? The odds are in my favor. Well, marriage is a very important thing. It defines our lives. And we don't play games with it. So if we could verify more responsibly, then we shouldn't run into it. And this is one of the things I also tell guys when they leave Machon Mil. Every year we have a few guys that go off to Chabad, to Satmar, to Interikarta. Different years, different guys go to different places. We've had everything here. We've had guys go to Islam and India and everything. You imagine it? It's happened here. But I always tell people, wherever you'll go, do me one favor. Could be one day you'll look back and you'll say all kinds of things about Machon Meir. I think it reflects more on the speaker than the Machon, but that's already your decision where you'll go in life. One favor I ask of you. I've been to too many divorces of guys from Machon Meir. When you leave us, do me a favor. As much as someone might push you to get married fast, and they'll tell you, if you're religious, then you don't spend time hanging out with girls, you don't do this, you get married after 2 dates, look at Schmerling, Uncle and Beryl, look at them, look at what beautiful homes they built. You know, they were motorcycle drivers, and then they came here, and they learned about Torah, and then they got married after 2 dates, and look at the lives they have. I don't buy it. We've seen them mess up too many times. And so I always tell guys, wherever you'll go, do me a favor. Be intelligent. Find someone who's on your side, trying to make it work intelligently. So if you're going to be in a certain sect where they don't accept 40 dates, so you'll have to compromise. I don't know what the compromise is. I mean, you're talking about compromising and taking a certain risk. But you have to work within the system you're going to. But you still can't get married too fast. I don't care where you are. I'm telling you as a friend, someone who has your best interest at heart, take your time, verify, investigate, do the research, and take the time to date, see who you're talking to. Don't jump into it. We've seen too many things happen here. So we've gone off on a tangent. Let's go back to the preparations for the first date. So we said shower, shave. I recommend going to the bathroom before you go to the date. You don't want to be there antsy. You want to be focused and take it easy. And if you're one of those people that really doesn't feel like going on the date, so do something that'll get you in good spirits. Listen to some music. Take a piece of chocolate in your mouth. Sometimes after you've been dating for 3 years, you don't feel like going to see another girl. You just want to finish this already. So take it easy. Take it easy. And go with plenty of time. Better you show up a little bit early than you show up a little bit late. Come. You've gotten to the first date. Usually on the first date we discuss our families. Sometimes our families could be a very sticky point. You don't want to mention your brother that's sitting in prison for drug dealing. Right? So you got to be intelligent. You don't have to share everything on the first date, right? You don't have to share everything ever, but certain things you will have to share, certain things you won't. This is too individualistic. This I leave for you to discuss with your rabbis what you discuss when, but be intelligent. We will discuss it a little bit. This is an applied science, right? This is real life. So practically each person has to talk to his rabbi and figure out when to say his history. But let's discuss a few points. We've often discussed that there's a lot of good to take from the homes you come from. Very often, because people are changing their lives completely, they think, I don't want anything from my parents. I'm turning a new leaf. I'm a new person. But there's also good there. I mean, in every person there's good. Mikol melamdai iskalti. And at the end of the day, we are a product of the homes we came from. So it pays to stop and think for a minute, what are the good things I have from my parents? And what things did I learn from them? A person should be careful not to delve too much into the past on the first dates. Could really scare a girl off. That's one of the reactions I get often. from girls that date mechonir guys. Sometimes they say, give him more time before he dates. I say, what do you mean? They say, well, he spent the first date describing all kinds of things from his past to me. He's not yet outgrown it. He's still there. And I don't think that's an accurate description. I think it's a mistaken impression that guys sometimes give. On the first date, you do discuss the past. Where am I coming from? What family am I from? Who am I? Where did I grow up? So be a little gentle. You don't have to tell them everything right now. You don't have to tell them every guy who got the fight with, the baseball bat, stuff. You don't have to go into that. Slowly. I mean, you're going to scare the girl. And rightfully so. I mean, if it were my daughter, I'd also be scared. The guy's telling her about beating someone with a baseball bat. I mean, it makes sense. So, gentle. With time, you'll become closer, you'll share more. I don't think that past experiences with girls should be discussed at this point. When and if what should be discussed, that we will discuss a drop, but I think each person has to discuss that with his local Orthodox rabbi. What you can discuss is where you grew up, what you studied, what you're doing now, how beautiful Israel is. Focus more on the present, focus on the more recent past, and focus on who you are. And who you are, I hope, is not focused on the fights you've been in, or the public schools, or everything else you've been through. That's a part of the past. Now, if she's interested, you could tell her. I'm sure there's a lot of interesting things to say about India. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things. And I'm sure that's interesting. But I'm just saying, balance it. Because sometimes I get the reaction from girls that they get very scared. If you're dating a Balat Tshuva, so that's one of the advantages, that you might have more in common in this area. And then you might find that you talk the same language. I don't think we gave this enough time, so we'll take the last 2 minutes to discuss that. When you're deciding between Balat Tshuva and a person who's firm from birth, did we discuss this? The advantages of each one. So the advantages of someone who's firm from birth are the following. I don't think we'll encompass all of them, but I think these are major ones. A, you have a family. You have someone to fall back on. You have someone who your children can emulate. They have uncles who you're not going to be embarrassed by, hopefully. They have grandparents who you could send them to and not worry about kashrut. You have people who you could learn from, you could connect to. They talk the same language. And you have an anchor. Meaning sometimes a person's closer to tshuva is still a pendulum swinging. And it's important to be anchored. You can't keep swinging with your kids. It's horrible. Some people are chozer b'tshuva. 1 year they go to a great lecture on them during the 9 days or during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and they say no TV in the house. They throw the TV out of the house. We gotta have a house of learning Torah. Great, they learn Torah with their kids. And then a year later they say, well, I gotta know the news. It's important. I'm in the stock market. I gotta know what the stocks are doing. They bring in the TV into the house. Next thing they're only watching wrestling. It's sports. It's wrestling. Come on. That they explain it. And then before you know it, they're watching the movies and kosher movies. And then the house is a TV house again. 3 years down the road, they go to another speech again. Oh, terrible, we got to throw a TV out of the house. TV's out of the house. Terrible, the kids say, Dad, 1 second, wait, the World Series are coming. How do you do that to us? What do you mean the World Series? That's garbage, that's stress. We don't want that type of house. Okay, the kids come out messed up. That's not good for your kids. You got to be steady. And if you're dating a from birth girl, so then there are better odds that she's going to be steady, right? This is how she grew up. There's a norm. She's going to have concepts which you sometimes don't have, the importance of wearing Shabbos clothes. A lot of guys in the Chol Meir don't bother putting on a white shirt and nice things for Shabbos. They say, what's the big deal? You know, so I'm wearing nice clothes. The halacha says you have to wear nice clothes, but that doesn't have to be white. That's true, but there's a Shabbos atmosphere. A girl that comes from a from birth home is going to have that. She's used to that. She knows that that's the norm. People sometimes wear Bukhari kippah. Nothing wrong with wearing Bukhari kippah. I don't care. Wear whatever kippah you want. There's no halacha that says the kippah has to be Sephardi or Ashkenazi or Bukhari. I don't care. But you understand that you're giving a certain message to your kids. It's imbalanced. You're not part of the norm. A girl that grew up in a from birth home has a very clear concept of what's normal. How does a normal family look like? What does a normal family do on Shabbat? What do they do on Yom Tov? We once had a guy who learned here and he learned very well. And every break he'd be learning Gemara in the library. Very serious guy. But he thought that on the Yom Tov, you go to Honolulu, you go to Hawaii, it's Yom Tov, enjoy. So he says, where in Shulchan Aruch does it say you can't spend the Yom Tov in Hawaii? It doesn't say it. You're right. But if you know what a Jewish atmosphere, what a Jewish home is supposed to look like, you don't take your kids to Hawaii. What are you telling them? God took us out of Mitzrayim and brought us to the land of Israel. Let's say it out in Hawaii, right? Okay. So he comes to me and he says, but it's kosher, Rabbi. They have a Seder. They ship a rabbi out there. Okay, fine. But that's not it. That's not the home that you should be aspiring to build. And the advantage of a from birth girl is that she's going to have that perspective. So there are many advantages. What are the disadvantages? She might not understand you. Meaning, a person who's chozer b'tshuva has a history, and it's good to have someone to share it with. Can she understand your history? Can she respect you and admire you in spite of your history? And can she understand your swings and your movements after you get married? Because the truth is that after a person does tshuva, it's still a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And a person has to have someone who will be understanding of the ups and the downs. Now, a girl can't even anticipate. She can't even know what's in store for her. Can she swallow that? Can she build with you? And that's a major advantage of someone who's chozeret b'tshuva. If we've both been through the same thing, then we could help one another and understand one another. When the guy, his parents call up on Shabbos and they're talking on the answering machine and they say, stop being a fanatic, I need a phone number. Just give me the phone number, why don't you just pick up the phone? And then they start swearing. So if she comes from a firm from birth home, she might be like, what's wrong? What's going on? I don't understand. They can't respect that we don't answer phones on Shabbos? And if she comes from the same background, then last week her parents did it, so then she understands. So there are advantages to both sides. There are challenges on both sides. And different people might have different things that match for them. Meaning for one guy, I had a guy who told me, I'm happy I married a from birth girl. When I don't know what kiddush to make on Yom Tov, she tells me. When I don't know what to daven on the fast days, she shows me. It's beautiful. When my kids come home with the parsha, she can do the parsha with them. Great. But a lot of people would have a problem. Their ego would have a serious problem if she were the one who was telling malacha around the house. If she were the one who knew the parsha better than him. If she were correcting him. It's not so simple. And I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all here. Meaning there are pros and cons to each side. We enumerated a few. Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll continue. Just one more point. Next week is our last week of the semester. Ben Azmanim, previous years we had classes. Whoever wants, let me know. We will not finish the dating series by a long shot. If you want to do more classes this Thursday, we have a late night. Someone should put it together, see how many people want it. And let me know. We might take an hour or two this Thursday night to try and wrap things up. If you want to, so previous years we had these dating series. They're all available online, just like we're recording this. This series happens to be, I think, in certain respects, better than previous series, simply because I have more years of experience. The last series was 2 or 3 years ago, so I've learned something in the last 2 or 3 years. Tov, Laila Tov.